just being scriptural. I got to thinking about this a while back. I heard somewhere, I can't remember where, I don't even know what the conversation was, but somebody was talking and somebody else said, well, what if we're not right? What if we're not right? What if what we're saying or teaching or expounding or what if we're not right? And I got to thinking about that. What if we're not right? Here we are, saved, sealed, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, Bible-believing, Bible-toting, Bible-quoting, hellfire and brimstone Baptist. Amen? But what if we're not right? Some of y'all look stunned. I believe we're right. I believe it. I'm persuaded. I know whom I believe. I mean, but just for the sake of argument, what if we're not right? I mean, half the world thinks we're wrong. Amen? And so I got to thinking about that, and I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, What If We're Wrong? What if we're wrong about what? Well, I got some things here, and I want to talk to you about them. It's not likely that we're wrong. I don't think so. But just suppose we were. What if we were wrong about some things? How would it impact us? What difference would it make in our present life and in our life to come? I mean, just suppose that all of our critics, the people who say there's nothing to Christianity, it's folk religion, it's myth, it's lore, it's no different than Greek mythology, Roman mythology. What if they were right? What if we were wrong? How would that impact you? I don't know. Well, let's think about it for a few minutes and go through a couple of things. Number one, just suppose that we are wrong about the inspiration of the Bible. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Bible declares that the Bible is given by the inspiration of the Almighty. But just suppose that it's not. What if the Bible is just a book? Like Gone with the Wind. Or J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. What if there's no difference between the Bible and Mickey Spillane? And what if it's just a book? Suppose they are right and it's just folklore, tradition, stories collected by old men. Suppose there's nothing supernatural, nothing miraculous about the Bible. It is just a book in the sense that any other book is a book. Now, I don't believe that. I believe the Bible is inspired by God, preserved by God. I think it's perfect, infallible, inerrant. I believe every word in it. I believe the covers because they say genuine. Amen? But suppose it weren't. What would that do to your world? Would it turn you upside down? Would it make you think that you'd made a mistake? Well, let me say this. If the Bible were not an inspired book, it would still be the best book in the world to live by. If it weren't breathed by God, if the Holy Ghost did not move by inspiration upon the hearts and minds of men, if holy men of old did not move as they were led by the Holy Spirit, it's still the greatest book that was ever written. I mean, what's the next best piece of literature besides the Bible? Well, there are two great books in the world that everybody bows down to. One, there's the Gilgamesh epic. That's about a war. Got nothing to do with God. It has a lot to do with the gods and how temperamental they are and how they throw fits. But that's supposed to be a great masterpiece of literature. And the other great book in the world is the Book of the Dead. Now, they claim that the Book of the Dead is the oldest book in the world. And, of course, the truth is the Book of the Dead is not a book at all. The Book of Job is the oldest book in the world. What am I doing? What's wrong with my shirt there? Sticking out? Okay, that's not a bad belly. It's the only one I've got, thank you. The Book of Job is the oldest book in the world. And the Book of the Dead, not a real book at all. The Book of the Dead, what it was is in the old times they had a custom before they covered the coffin up, before they covered the dead up, people would write little sayings and little one-liners, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, wish you were here and that kind of thing. And they would throw that into the grave and or into the coffin and they would close it up. Well, the Book of the Dead is where they just came by and opened up all them old coffins and collected them little pieces of paper and put them in a book form. It's not really a book. There's no narrative. There's no story. There's no point. There's no history. See? But they say that's a... And it's supposed to be the wisdom of the ages collected in there. Well, a lot of them guys didn't have any wisdom at all. A lot of them guys were just nutty as a fruitcake. Amen? I mean, how bright can you be if you think throwing a piece of paper in a box with a dead man is going to get you somewhere? Amen? So, even if the Bible were not inspired, it would still be the best book ever written. And the Ten Commandments would be the best system ever known to man to live by. Amen? You say, yeah, but if the Bible's not true, what about all that stuff in it? Well, I want to ask you about those. Let's just suppose, now everything that I'm going to say, it hinges upon that first point, you know, because everything we know about anything comes out of the Bible. Amen? Now, just suppose that there is no salvation of the soul. What if we're wrong about that? Somebody said, are you a Christian? Yes, sir, I'm saved, still sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to glory, never spoke in tongues one time. Amen. Glory to God. I'm saved, saved, saved. I'm a child of the King. I've passed from death unto life. I've been born again. Amen. That's me, boy. I'm one of them. So what if there is no salvation of the soul? What if everything you believe is a joke? And you're not saved and you're not on your way to heaven? You're just dead as 3 o'clock and, you know, there's nothing to it. It's all a joke. It's all a myth. Well, I'd be sad not to go to heaven because I've been looking forward to that place. But the honest truth is, if there's no salvation of the soul, like it says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which is lost. If there is no salvation of the soul, I'm not any worse off than anybody else. Amen? I'm not one bit worse off than the people who didn't believe it in the first place. But I'll tell you something else. For 33 years now, I've believed it, and it's been a great comfort to my soul. I have enjoyed believing a lie. If it ain't so, I've had a good time thinking that it was. Come to find out, if you find out it ain't so, keep your mouth shut. I don't want to know it. I'm enjoying my delusion. I'm happy as a bug in a rug thinking I'm going to die and go to heaven. Amen. So if it ain't so, I don't want to know. I believe it is. You're not going to convince me. So how do you know? You say, well, I was there, buddy. I know me before and I know me after, see. But just suppose it ain't so. I ain't lost nothing by thinking I was saved. It ain't cost me nothing to think I was saved. And the honest truth is, it's given me 33 years of joy and pleasure and happiness. Amen. Now, just suppose that there is no rapture of the church. What if we're wrong about that? Oh, listen, I've spent hours and hours of my life thinking about the rapture. It's one of my favorite events in the future. Now, there's a lot of things down the road I'm looking forward to, the resurrection of the body and all that. But what if there is no rapture of the church? Suppose we've been taught wrong. So somebody got their theology wrong. Or the Bible's not a real book, inspired book anyway, and nothing in it is real. So there's no rapture of the church. Now, when I say the rapture of the church, we're looking for Jesus Christ to come in the clouds of heaven and catch up all the living saints And all the dead saints, amen, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, amen. I've thought about that a million times. The living saints. A fellow asked a preacher named McKinley one time, he said, preacher, he said, how come the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first? He said, because they got 6 foot further to go. But just suppose there is no rapture. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? I mean, I've enjoyed it. Yeah, I don't know what you sit around and fantasize about, and don't tell me. Now look at some of y'all's face. You're not supposed to talk about that stuff. But I think about the rapture. My favorite scenario is I'm in Walmart. I'm shopping. Amen. I'm back there in the golf clubs. I'm getting tees and Ti-Tech titanium balls. If y'all buy me a Christmas present, that's what I need. And I'm back there just having a good old time. And I hate this pager because it goes off at the most inopportune times. But I'm not answering it. I'm in there having a good old time. I'm shopping. And the rapture takes place. The Lord descends into the atmosphere. And it gets down to 33,000 feet. And the archangel blows the trumpet. And the dead in Christ rise first. Now, it just so happens the Walmart I'm in was built right over the city cemetery that was there in 1901. Amen? They just bulldozed over it and built Walmart on it. But the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first. Man, here's all that shiny wax tile. This is before Christmas season. And all the shelves are full and nice and orderly. That's before opening. And everything's... But the floor starts popping open like popcorn in a popcorn popper. And up through the floor starts coming all these deceased Christians. And they are in various stages of reconstruction. This valley of dry bones has got to put on the sinews and the muscle and the flesh and all that. And so up through the floor, and here's all these little old southern ladies out there shopping and trying to save that dollar, you know, and all that stuff, and pushing their little carts and hobbling around, and right in front of them pops a big old hole in the floor, and up comes this big old 300-pound man that used to be a sumo wrestler or something. Boy, I mean, big old ugly dude. And as he's coming up, this leg right over here is pretty much complete, and all the flesh and all is on it. But this leg over here is only partially made. And up here is still the rib cage, and the intestines and all are starting to form. And amen? And it's got an eyeball on this side, but nothing in this side. And the tongue is starting to come, and it's wiggling a little, you know, and growing. This guy is being put back together as he comes up. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I enjoy thinking about that stuff like that. I especially like to think about it when there's little old ladies involved. Because it just scares the devil out of them. Amen. I like to think about it, you know, the rapture comes and all the people I didn't like are sitting out there on the ocean in their big old boat with their martinis and their big old long cigars. And they look up to the sky to hear a sound, you know, and that's the ground opening up and all them graves emptying. And they look up and here go all these bodies flying by. In a moment, in a twinkling, and I just happen to go by, and they're sitting there, and I'm going, told you. I've had a lot of good times thinking about the rapture of the church, but suppose it ain't so. Suppose there isn't any rapture. Well, I'm not any worse off. Amen? You say, well, what if the unsaved people are right? Okay, they're right. There's no rapture. I'm not any worse off than they are. I'm not any worse off than I was when I started. Amen. What has it done to me? What impact has it had on me now that I find out there is no rapture? Do you know all the sunny Sunday afternoons I've laid and looked into the sky and thought about and had a good time? Well, I don't regret believing in the rapture, even if it ain't so. Amen. I bet you believe a lot of stuff ain't so. Say, well, they taught us wrong. Well, if the Bible ain't real, it don't make any difference. Amen? So just suppose there's no rapture. Is that going to ruin your life? Well, it's going to disappoint me because I'm looking forward to it. I want to go up, but I mean, I'm looking forward to the resurrection. Amen? This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible put on incorruption. This shall be brought to pass. That saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen? I'm looking forward to all that. I'm looking forward to the rapture. I'm looking forward to coming up out of the grave one of these days. But if it ain't so, believing in it hasn't done me any damage. Now, it may not have done me any good, but it hasn't hurt me. Amen? At the very worst, I'm even. I'm on a level playing field with the unbeliever because it hasn't done me any harm, even though potentially, if it's not so, it hasn't done me any good. Other than it's made my life better and it's given me some degree of false happiness. I'll take false happiness over no happiness any day, thank you. Now, so if there's no rapture of the church, then what about this? What if we're wrong about the judgment? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, 12, says, and I saw a great white throne, him who sat upon whose face the heavens and earth fled away and all that. And the dead stand before, I saw the dead stand before God, and the books were opened, the dead were judged out of the things written in the books, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire. Amen? That's the great white throne. That's where the wicked dead, that's where the unsaved dead get their just reward, which I'm certainly looking forward to. Amen? I'd like to see Madeline and Mary O'Hara get hers. Amen. That Christ rejecting old reprobate. Amen. That fellow with the Beatles that got his brains blown out. Good. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he's dead and gone. And I'd like to be there when he gets to the great white throne of judgment. That sorry, good for nothing reprobate influenced thousands, if not millions, of young people away from God with his worldly philosophy and his wicked heart. Amen? It didn't bother me a bit when they killed that sucker. Amen? I wouldn't mind seeing him taken in the neck again. I can see I've been too brutally honest for some of y'all. Oh, well. Now, but suppose there is no judgment. Suppose Lenin and all them guys and are not going to get it, you know, and Hitler's not going to get it, and there is no judgment. What if there's no consequence eternally for your deeds in this life? Suppose if you are wicked and ungodly and immoral, there is no judgment, there's no resurrection, so it makes no difference eternally how you live. Suppose that's so. How would that affect your life? How would that affect how you live? Well, I'll tell you the honest truth. I don't think it'd affect how I live one iota. Amen? Then Ten Commandments are still the best rules to govern life that were ever written. And the best life that anybody ever lived was a life that kept them honest and pure and faithful and moral and gave them integrity. That's the best life anybody can live. So even if it ain't so, I still made the right choice. It's better than living wicked. Amen? Listen, you look out here and you see who's got the bad life. It's them drunks. It's them cheats. It's those who are unfaithful. It's those who are immoral. They've got the worst life. They've got the heartache. They've got the grief. Even if what I believe about it isn't so, I'm still better off believing that than I am believing what they believe and living like they live. I'd take my lifestyle and the way I live over anybody's. If there was no eternity, if there's no heaven and no hell, this is still the best way there is to live. Which leads me to this. What if we're wrong about hell? The Bible said in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Amen? Well, if there's no hell, the worst case scenario is this. I spent 30 plus years of my life fearful of a place that doesn't exist. Amen? That's the worst case scenario. If the Bible is wrong, if there's no salvation, if there's no rapture, if there's no resurrection, and there is no hell, the worst thing that could happen about my wrong belief is I've been deceived. I'm not any worse off. If there is no hell, and it doesn't make any difference how you live, I mean, you're not going to be judged for it eternally. I'm not any worse off than if I hadn't believed it. Amen? I'm not any worse off. I'm even. If there's no hell, I don't have to worry about it. Amen? You say, well, what about all them people that deserve hell? Well, man, that's all of us. I deserve hell. But if we're wrong, there isn't any hell. We're not got nothing to worry about. Amen? But I'll tell you what, the fear of hell has kept me from doing a lot of stuff. Amen? I tell you what, it's strange, you know, that you can believe a lie and it'd be beneficial. I mean, the Bible is not the Word of God, but the Ten Commandments taught me how to live. Isn't that weird? The rapture is not real, but it kept me looking up for heaven. Amen? Isn't that strange? There's no judgment, but it kept me from living a wicked life. Amen? Because I thought I had to give an account. Isn't it strange how something that's not so can be so good? There is no hell, but I tell you what, I worried about hell and I didn't want to go there. And it made me change the way I live. I'll tell you something else. My fear of hell helped me try to keep you from going there. Here's all these things that aren't so and they're all good. And they're not even so. Wouldn't that be strange? No hell. Well, you get down to the end of the thing, and the logical conclusion is, if the Bible is not real, and salvation is not real, and the rapture is not real, and judgment is not real, and hell is not real, let's just suppose, I mean, just take the final lead, and suppose we're wrong, and there ain't no God. Preacher, I know, I believe in God too, man. I can give it up. I can change my mind. I'm still convinced. I've seen him do too many things not to believe. You can't fool me. I'm sorry. We're doing this for the sake of somebody who's not a believer. Suppose the Christians are wrong and there is no God. In the beginning, God created. Maybe that's a lie. God didn't create. What if evolution was so? God's not there. God didn't do anything. God can't punish you because God's not there. God can't help you because God's not there. I mean, there just ain't no God. How would that affect your life? Well, it wouldn't affect mine at all. I go on just as long as I could, living like there wasn't God, because everything I learned from the book of God about God made my life better. Why in the world would I give that up? Amen. I would serve the Lord and fear God if I found out tomorrow God wasn't real. Still got the best life. Listen, I was lost 27 years. I've been saved for 30 or whatever it is now. I can't keep it straight anymore. And the best years of my life started March the 4th, 1972, when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, I may be wrong about that, and Christ may not have lived, and Christ might not have died, and there is no salvation. I might be wrong about all that stuff, but it has made me happy. It has gave me joy. It's given me hope. It's directed the way I live my life. It's had an impact on how I treat my family. It's had an impact on how I treat the rest of the world. It's given me joy and hope for tomorrow. I've had one hell of a good time believing a lie. Amen. Now, let me ask you one more question. What if you're wrong? What if us Bible thumping, Bible quoting, Bible carrying Christians are right? You agnostics and infidels and unbelievers, what if you're wrong? What if the Bible is real? And what if it is inspired by God? And suppose everything in it is so. I mean, just suppose that I humiliated us and I did away with everything we believe and everything we hold near and dear, to condescend to your point of view, and won't you be honest for a minute? and just swap places, and let's assume you're wrong and we're right. Won't you be as big a man, big a woman as we are, and just swap places for a minute? And just give it hypothetically, you could be in error. What would that do to you? Just suppose as fundamentalist Christians are right. And let's say the Bible is real. Well, that means you're going to be judged by the book. The Bible says the book's going to judge you one of these days. Amen? If that book is real, if us Christians are right, you're in a heap of big trouble. Because that book that you laughed at and scorned and poked fun at all these years, that book was the Word of Almighty God. I mean, it's exactly what God wanted to say, exactly the way God wanted to say it, and He meant every word that He said. That means you're in trouble. You better hope to God you're right. Amen. Like that sticker I saw here a while back, it said, if you're going to live like there is no God, you better be right. Now, let's suppose this. If the Bible is true and it really is inspired, that means the salvation of the soul is real. That means that if you hadn't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you hadn't repented of your sins, you are lost, without God, without hope, and on the way to a devil's hell. That's exactly what that means. If that Bible is real, then the salvation of that Bible is real, and you're not saved, and you're going to die and go to hell just as sure as there's a God in glory. If we're right, you're wrong. Amen? Now you see, us being wrong didn't make us any worse off. You understand that? That didn't make us any better off, but it didn't make us any worse off. If you're wrong, you're worse off. Amen? If we were right, we had rewards coming, we had expectation. If we're wrong, we're not any better off, but we're not any worse off than we were, whether we believed it or not. Now, on the other hand, or if it were true or not, on the other hand, if you are wrong, you're worse off in every case. The worst that can happen to me, if it's wrong, is I come out neutral. If you're wrong and it is true, you're going to come out in a hole every time. It's going to cost you. So if the Bible's real, then there's salvation of the soul. And you've neglected. And the Bible said, how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, you won't escape. You won't escape. You neglect so great salvation. If the Bible is true and salvation of the soul is real, then you're going to die and go to hell. Not only that, the Bible will condemn you. You will neglect God's great salvation. You'll be left behind at the rapture. They got a whole series of books out now because it's called Left Behind. And they're okay, I guess. I'm not much on fiction when it comes to the Bible. Cecil B. DeMille's and all turn me against it, you know, because they never make sense and they're never scriptural. And the Passion of the Christ wasn't any better. I don't care how much you think of Mel Gibson. Amen. And the Left Behind series ain't any better. Amen. And how Dobson and all them boys get a Christian allegory out of J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings is a mystery to me. I might as well make an allegory, a Christian allegory out of Harry Potter. I don't see a dime's worth of difference. Where was I at? You'll be left behind. If the Bible is real, the Bible is the Word of God, and salvation is real, I mean, if us Christians are right, when the rapture comes, you ain't going. You're going to be stuck down here. So, oh, well, if it's real, I want to go. Well, you got to live like it's real now, whether you think it is or not. You can't wait till the last minute and say, oops, I made a mistake. I'm changing side. It don't work like that. You can do that in the NFL. You know, you can sign a contract and back out on it. You can say, I commit myself to this team. You can do a Hillary, you know, and say you're going to serve out your whole 6 years and then sign up for be president. I mean, it don't work that way going home to glory. You got to be on the right team now. If the rapture is real, if the Bible is real, if salvation is real, the rapture is real. And that means if you're not saved when it takes place, you get stuck down here.
So, well, what's so bad about that? Well, the next point, remember, judgment. It's the point of man wants to die, and after this, to judgment. If the Bible is real, if us Christians are right, one of these days, all you unsaved folks are going to stand before God Almighty. You're going to have to look in eyeball to eyeball. And you're going to give an account. So give an account of what? The deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. You say, well, what about my sin? Don't worry about your sin. Your sin's what sent you to hell. You're not standing at the judgment of God, the great white throne, to find out whether you're a sinner or not, or whether you're lost or not, or whether you're going to hell or not. All that is settled. What they try to do is measure how far from the burner you get strapped down. Amen? If you're not saved, if you never trusted Christ, you are going to hell. Your sins are going to take you there. So the sin question, the punishment of sin is death, eternal death. So the question of sin doesn't come up at the great white throne. Works do. You're going to hell because you rejected Jesus Christ, pure and simple. Your sins have damned you. What you're going to do now is find out how bad you live. And the worse you live, the closer to the burner they put you. That may not be exactly like that, but that's pretty close. Some of y'all might be right behind Hitler. Someday you'll stand guilty and forsaken at the judgment bar of God. If we're right. Now just suppose you're wrong and we're right. Us Christians are right. If that's so, you know what? Your eternity will be torment in hell. If it's, oh, I don't believe in hell. I think hell's a joke. Hell's in your mind. Hell's a state of mind, you know. No, no, it's not. It's a real place like Chicago and Los Angeles. That's the closest thing you can find to hell on the top side of the ground. Amen. To live in Chicago is pretty close to like living in hell. To live in Los Angeles is pretty close to like living in hell. Amen. Not quite, but that's a start. Hell's a real place. It's not in your head. It's in the heart of the earth. It's not mythological. The fire down there burned. You know, the boy said, for I am tormented in this flame. He didn't say, oh, I'm tormented in my mind. You know why he didn't say that? Because his feet were burning. That's why. What if we're right and you're wrong? Just suppose for a minute you're wrong. One day you will face God. Eyeball to eyeball. Now, you know what you're going to see when you see God? I don't know all that's involved, but I know these four things are. If us Christians are right, and you infidels and agnostics and heathen and Bible rejectors and Christ haters, if y'all are wrong, one of these days you're going to see God face to face. And here's what you're going to see on His face. You're going to see the hurt in God's face. So why would I see hurt in God's face? Because God is hurt in His big heart. God is wounded in His heart. Say, why? Because you're lost and you didn't have to be. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible said, God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell, and God's heart will be broken. He gave His only begotten Son. He made a way that you don't have to perish. And when God sees you stand there lost, His heart will be broken because you perish. Not only that, when you stand before God, you will see the anger on God's face. See, what's He angry about? You rejected His Son. God ripped His heart out one day and sent it down to this old earth to live and die a sinless life, to redeem lost mankind. God gave the ultimate. He gave all that there was. He gave His only begotten Son, and you have done despite to the Spirit of Christ. You have trampled underfoot the blood of the covenant. You have turned your back on Jesus Christ, and God is angry about that. I'm here to tell you, when you don't receive Christ as your Savior, when you reject God's only begotten Son, you are under the wrath of the Almighty. God is mad.
You would be too. Not only that, you'll see the hurt. And you'll see the anger. You know what you'll see in the eyes of God Almighty that day? You'll see the righteous gaze as you get your just reward. Now, God will take no pleasure in it. But God will look you face to face. There won't be any doubt. There won't be any equivocation. There won't be anything except righteous gaze. You deserve. You're not getting anything you didn't purchase. You don't get anything you don't deserve. But when you step off into hell to be tormented day and night forever and ever, what you get is a just reward of what you've done. You have lived like the devil and you've rejected God's Son and you deserve. And God is righteous. He is right to do what He's doing. And God will do it without batting an eye. He won't have to doubt. He won't ponder. He'll pronounce you guilty and cast you into the lake of fire. And fourthly, you'll see on the face of God Almighty that day the pained grimace that you're casting to Him. God has no pleasure. God's not going to enjoy seeing you in hell. He's going to let you go. He's going to put you there Himself because you rejected His Son. You died in your sins. But as every sinner slips over the edge into the pit of the damned, there'll be a grimace on the face of God Almighty. He'll think to Himself, I did all that I could do and still be righteous. I gave my only begotten. I gave opportunity and time. I gave my word. I sent the preachers. I sent witnesses. They've heard. They know. There is no excuse. They chose to reject my Son. They chose to flaunt it in my face. They chose to die in their sin. They chose hell. While it pains Him, over the side you go. Now, if we're wrong, if us Christians are wrong, and the Bible's not real, I won't be any better off, but I won't be any worse off. On the other hand, you folks who are not saved by God's grace, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If we're right and you're wrong, you won't be just as well off. You lose. If we're right, you will suffer the consequence of your unbelief. So, well, preacher, which one's right? Well, I believe I am. You believe you are. Amen? Both sides think they're right. So, I can't prove you there's a God this morning. I can demonstrate there has to be, but I can't tell Him to you. I can't let you feed Him, taste Him, hear Him, smell Him, touch Him, you know. Can't prove God. I can reason God. Amen. I can demonstrate God, but I can't show you God. I can't prove God. So you have to make a choice. Now, I appeal to your sense of reason and logic. If it's a 50-50 shot on right or wrong, and on the one side, the worst consequence is nothing, and on that side, even if it's wrong, there are benefits in living an honest life, a moral life, a godly life. It brings happiness and peace and joy. It helps to keep the family together. There's a multitude of benefits, even if it's not so. On the other hand, if it is, you lose. Not only if you live a wicked life, you lose the joy and peace that you could have had here, but you lose eternally. Now, what kind of sane person would turn that off for them? If there is any possibility at all, however minute, if there is any possibility that the Christian is right, then you are a fool to choose the other side. I would choose this side on the hope that it's saved. You know, when it comes right down to it, it's all a choice, isn't it? I choose to believe. I want to believe. I like what's promised. I like its future. Come to think of it, I like its present. Now, I've left out all the stuff where I can demonstrate logically and rationally that there is a God and that you can see Him operate even though you can't see Him. We haven't discussed any of that. We're just talking about the logic of, if hell is real and it is eternal punishment, if heaven is real and it is eternal reward, if there's a possibility that it could go one way or the other, I don't believe there is. I don't believe that. But if there is, any rational person in his right mind would choose God. Now let me ask you this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and you are not saved, you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, you don't know for sure. If you died today, you'd die and go to heaven. If you don't know that, you need to make a choice today. You need to choose Jesus Christ. So, well, preacher, what if you're wrong? Well, it won't cost you anything if I am. But what if I'm right? You have everything to gain by believing, and everything to lose by resenting. What are you going to do? Choose you this day. Whom it will serve. The choice is yours. Let's bow. Father, we thank you now for your